A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd, and he put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. And then looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. For as long as there have been human communities have struggled with the phenomenon of deafness. Not uncommon among the aging, it's quite uncommon among the young. Only about 1 in every 1,000 children is born profoundly deaf. But when it does occur, it comes often with significant challenges. History testifies that even in ancient times, there have been deaf persons who thrived. In the Hittite Empire over 3,500 years ago, a concentration of the 35 del gene mutation in the population gave birth to a rich deaf culture, a culture still celebrated at places like Gallaudet University today. But that should not make us underestimate the challenges deaf children face, especially when born into hearing communities not fluent in the language of signing. Unable to grasp the structure of language in the period when it's normally acquired between the ages of 18 to 36 months, the language centers in the child's brain can begin to atrophy, making it hard to figure out language's mysteries later. Not only communication is affected, but also the capacity to grasp abstract thought. Even today, only a third of deaf teens graduate from high school. And of those who go on to college, only a fifth complete a degree. Those deaf from childhood can experience a profound isolation and increased mental health issues. They're vulnerable in a particular way to sexual abuse. One study estimated that up to a third of prisoners are deaf or hard of hearing. The man who Jesus encounters in today's gospel appears to be one who experienced deafness from infancy, unable to hear, but also struggling to speak. We don't know the other ways that may have been impacting his life. We can only guess that there were other ways. I don't think it'd be a stretch to say that obviously he was loved by his community. It's they who bring him to Jesus, but it's also clear that his deafness presents a real challenge for them, that they're unable to communicate with one another as they would want. And they're asking for healing of what blocks them from being able to really participate fully in each other's lives. And we discover that it's a cause that Jesus is partial to as well. With his hands and his spit, he opens the man's ears and frees his tongue to speak plainly so that he can be understood. In today's world, there are an ever-growing number of efforts to mitigate the isolating and limiting side effects of physical deafness. But the challenge of real communication and full participation in a community's life extends far beyond those who are born into a muted or silent world. The reason that we can so readily empathize with stories of those who are deaf is that all of us at some time or other can resonate with what it feels like is when our modes of communicating with each other are clogged or blocked or frustratingly muffled. That we are seeing lips move but not grasping all of what's being said. All of us have moments when we feel surrounded by love and concern on all sides but are lonely and isolated at the same time. All of us have moments of feeling like our tongue won't serve the longings of our heart, won't speak the words we want it to say, that we can neither understand nor be understood as we desire. And we can suspect that Jesus is still partial to this cause. But Jesus cares a lot about our ability to live richly relational lives. We've often heard that the purpose of our lives is to enjoy communion. Indeed, every time we gather to celebrate Eucharist, we enact in ritual our belief about where all of history is headed, communion with God and with each other. But perhaps we've not thought much before about the fact that communion and communication share the same root. The act of listening and of speaking is meant to enable deep and abiding relationship with one another. And whenever we make any effort to work at the quality of our communication with one another, when we open ourselves to listening at a new level, when we practice care of our words, when we speak what is most deeply in our hearts, we are, by the very act of doing so, working in service of God's plan for communion. Long ago, there was a community along the Sea of Galilee near Sidon who so valued being in communion with each other that they sought Jesus' help to make conversation possible where it had seemed impossible. I wonder if in our own communities, we go to any such lengths as they did. I wonder if we even think of our ability to be in conversation with one another as integrally related to our spiritual life and in service of our basic human vocation. I wonder if we even think of the quality of our communication as something Jesus would be vitally concerned about and something with which we might want to ask his healing help. As we move into this coming week, the gospel invites us to consider what we might do as a community to further our capacity to communicate with one another. What would it look like for Christ to work a miracle in our midst? What voices would we suddenly be able to hear that we can't right now? What stories will we be open to listen to? What would we want to be freed to say? And what bar would we hold our speech to? And what is stopping us right now from coming before Jesus and asking for what we need? Nothing.